Communications. This is NUTS.
What are you doing here?
Are you trying to give me the double talk?
Radio. Shut up and start talking.
And then make a left and come 405 north. From there, just get off Mulholland.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
The Talk Alternative is the 405 Media from Los Angeles, California. Hello to you, wherever you are. It is time for the original and classic Gang of 405, right here on the 405media.com. Hi there. We'll do some quick intros and jump into the topics. We will visit with the gang at the start of the next segment, catch up on lost time, the beloved winners and losers segment at the end of the show. You know the drill. So let us say hello to, from Texas, 80 degrees today, and Doppler radar shows a line of thunderstorms. Hello, Scott Jones.
ATM.
That's good right. Morning. We spared no expense and invested in Doppler radar here at the 405media.com because you should know, or something like that, right?
If I'm going to get blown away, I'm going to turn to you to let me know.
And find Toto.
Yep.
Scott will be in his combination tornado shelter and prepper shelter probably in the next few hours based on the way I see the thunderstorms moving. So, and she's in Oregon. You can hear her in the background. 64 and no rain, partly cloudy today. Tammy Jackson, hello.
Partly sunny to you. Thank you very much. And hi, guys. Great to be here. Yeah, we're actually going to start seeing some sunshine here, which is amazing because most of us have now, hunkered down into our submarines after this winter and spring.
And can I mention nice weather for a Rose Parade, except it ain't going to happen, right? Whatever happened to terrorists will never make us change the way we live, or something like that. I guess that was lost on the Rose Parade organizers, right? Have you been following that story, Tammy?
I didn't catch all that.
The Rose Parade. They canceled the Rose Parade.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
There was going to be too much violence, and so it went away. But it was a different Rose Parade. It wasn't the main Rose Parade.
So the main
Rose Parade is always in June and festivities. Although I got to tell everybody, from the days when I used to gather my, our picnic baskets and our lawn chairs, and we'd go sit there when I was a kid, grandma, grandpa, and everybody, we'd travel up to Portland from Silverton, about an hour drive, and watch the parade. Well, it's expanded, and there's always a twilight or something parade, but whatever the parade is at night that precedes the main Rose Parade has gotten so profane that families are warned against attending because it's mainly pretty much a gay pride type parade now.
Bummer.
Yeah. So
82 and sunny in Los Angeles. This is John Grant here, your affable host. You can tweet us during the show at the 405 Radio. We handle three topics. Two deal with current political events, hard news as it were. A third one is a little fluffy, culture, because the show is not an hour about politics and policy, because it's not. So there. Topic number one, Fox News thinks it can make all its problems go away by hiring a female CEO. Sean Hannity is fighting to keep his one-time producer, now co-president Bill Shine, but the Murdoch boys are quietly, finger quotes, looking for a female replacement. Scott Jones, I don't want to talk about Fox News every week, because if we did, the only listener we'd have is Harriet Baldwin. However, they're back in the news, and we're told getting rid of Ailes than getting rid of O'Reilly would change the culture, but it looks like something more nefarious is happening at Fox News. What say you?
Yeah, it's a mess. I want to give, even though we're doing winners and losers, my backup loser was the programming and producers at Fox News who came up with the names of the two new shows, Martha McCallum, The Story.
Yeah.
Really? What kind of brainstorm did that take? And then Eric Bolling's show, which I'm dubious about, called The Fox News Specialist, as if they're gynecologists or something. I don't know, John.
Yeah, what's her names? Williams and Kat Timpf, they fix you up with a hospital gown, and Eric Bolling sticks a rubber glove on and handles your nether regions or something.
That's right.
Exactly what it sounds like.
Yeah, and even Brett Baer muffed it. He called it the Fox News strategist when he was introducing the show. They're bowling, sitting there, you know. So anyway, all that aside, it just seems to me, John, that they're in disarray. You know, I've known who Bill Shine is because I'm a media nerd. And there's a lot of talk about he was kind of a gatekeeper and ran interference for Ailes and maybe even crossed a line in perpetuating the culture by inaction in his role as Ailes' chief lieutenant. You know, there's a thought that they're cleaning house of all the Ailes' acolytes. You know, Greta Van Susteren was one of them, and, you know, she's gone. But, you know, 100% turnover in your prime time, if Sean Hannity leaves, is never a good day. And as I was talking with Tammy offline and you were listening, you know, there is a sector of the viewing public, the law viewing public, that feel like that Fox is trending left and maybe even center left with Shep Smith's antics on air, and he needs to go to school and figure out what's hard news and what's editorial, because it's getting pretty thick. And they may be vulnerable. I mean, for the first time in their 20-year history, the kingdom may have a chink in the armor, is my take on it.
Tammy Jackson, old Rupert Murdoch is out of the picture. He was sort of the crusty old anti-socialite. It's safe to say he didn't care what society thought of him, although it didn't stop him from getting hot chicks, right? Suddenly, along comes his sons, James and Lachlan, who grew up with privilege. They have access to social standing. You know, they want to hang out with people like Gwyneth Paltrow, and they see what's going on at Fox News as a barricade to that. These guys are full-blown social justice warrior, it sounds like.
You know, it seems like it. And so I have heard, and this is, I've been doing a bunch of research all week, and I've been tweeting about this. And I don't know, I guess I should include you guys in all my tweets. I went on a Twitter rant because I had been watching Fox News during the day. Per usual, I usually have it on in the background as I'm working, like most of us conservative journalists do. And I just kept thinking, good grief, what show is this? And I'd go out and see, and it'd be something like my favorite show with John Scott and Jenna Lee. And I love those two, absolutely love them. But why in the world was 90% of the time bashing Trump, bashing what's being done? And it seemed as though John Scott, who I am a longtime fan of, was really playing the devil's advocate. And Jenna Lee seemed to be adversarial as well. And I thought, this is crazy. And then more shows popped up, and I just was not hearing any conservative commentary. I was hearing some middle of the road and some just pretty much leftist talking points. And I thought,
well, you're hurting when you hire somebody like Marie Harf.
Yeah, what were exactly they doing? Harf. And so I started listening more during the day and started doing some research, and I came up with some articles that you also found, John, but I found some other stuff too that says that, for instance, Lachlan and James Murdoch, their wives are hard leftists. And it seems like they're really...
Well, look where they live and work, Tammy.
Exactly. So not only are they more moderate than their dad, who's more conservative, at least financially, economically, but they're married to women who are strong women. Nothing wrong with that. But these strong women espouse real leftist ideology, and they are influencing their husbands.
But do you know, and our listeners may not know, that of the entire 21st century Fox organization, that Fox News is a full 25-26% of their profits?
Oh, it's big time profits. Now, so what I'm wondering is, and this is what I was tweeting about, and I was copying Rupert and Fox News in the tweets, and I was saying, I hope you're listening, because I think that conservatives will quit watching Fox News entirely if it keeps up this slouch to the left. And I had a number of people retweet me and then comment and say, yes, it's total BS. They're not the conservative network anymore. Tweets that our love affair with Fox News is over. And so,
but you know something, Tammy, in their defense, and I'm not being defensive of Fox News.
Right.
It just seems like that this problem is in their New York headquarters. If you look at their Washington Bureau, and I'm not just saying it because our friend Brett Baer is there. I mean, they seem to be pretty controversy-free and are really the backbone of the hard news part of Fox News. And I still think that is a standalone, is a quality organization.
Well, and
yeah,
Fox,
but I just don't think the garden variety Fox viewer makes that distinction. I mean,
yeah, I know. I'm just
this
saying.
This is a statement that you get, and I think people just sort of apply that in a blanket fashion to all of it. They've been feeling, according to Hollywood Reporter, feeling increased pressure to make good on their public statements to foster a workplace based on the values of respect and trust. I mean, that just sounds like it's right out of the Social Justice Warrior Handbook. You know what I'm saying? Putting a woman in the top spot at Fox News would send a distinct message given the issues that have been roiling the network. The feelers are external, though it's possible somebody could get promoted from within. There you go.
Well, and your headline on this whole segment, John, I think is apropos. I don't think putting a woman as head of the organization is transparent at all. It's obvious, and I'm not sure, number one, that it would be fair to the woman who took the job, because they're so foobar in New York right now. I question whether she could succeed, number one. And number two is a PR move. You see that coming a mile away. I mean, it's an obvious gratuitous play that I think handicaps any woman's credibility coming into that organization because of the way they've handled it, John.
Well, the hardest attacks would come from the left, from such a woman in charge of Fox News, because they would make demands of, you know, public floggings of all the male employees. They'd want Hannity out of there. They'd want Jesse Waters out of there. You know, a female CEO just doesn't make that go away. Once you give in to these people, they keep coming back for more. And I think that, you know, that would be an impossible job for any CEO, you know, much less a female that, you know, pretends to impart this atmosphere of, respect and trust, Tammy.
Yeah, the whole thing, what's going on here with Fox is pretty amazing. I would have never thought they'd gone down this route, but they've had so many shakeups. And as we were saying before we went on air, they've got these new shows, and the new shows are mostly pretty weird. I like Tucker Carlson, but I did think, okay, what's the deal with having Bruce/Caitlyn Jenner as his first guest? And I watched that was somebody that always thought he could live and let live as far as the whole trans thing goes. And he said, my goodness, it's just like you're watching a nightmare.
I take
talk.
It you didn't care for Richard Dreyfuss and Fabio either last night, right? That wasn't
the
your
Fabio. The Fabio thing even floored me, guys.
I thought, what is he doing with Fabio on there? I mean, it's fine to have. They've had Richard Dreyfuss on before. No big deal. We know he's a lefty, but he made some points. If he wants to rally for the Declaration of Independence, and that's good for him. I like it. The preamble, and the Constitution. That's fantastic. You know, let him have his say. But I don't know. I just and Tucker has gotten to where he's gotten by really challenging people, and he's still doing that. But you guys have got to admit, some of these new shows, they're wacky.
Well, they are. And, John, you know, you mentioned Jesse Waters. There's part of me that wonders if he will even be back.
Well, because he took one of those mysterious, sudden, unexpected vacations. Yes, I think that's an excellent prediction.
Well, and look at who his mentor was. And then he comes out and makes an off-color joke about Ivanka Trump, you know, and he was in that environment. And they may just say, hey, we're going to cut our losses.
Did he do that on The Five, Scott?
Yes, he did. And I didn't think it was that big of a deal, but it was very juvenile in locker room, and it happened to be in a sexist claim and litigation environment there. It was an untoward comment and poor timing and was very immature.
You know, I liked Jesse Waters with what he did with Waters World, going out there and getting all these goofballs that didn't know a thing about our government and our country on air to inform people abroad or hear what's going on. But when I saw him on The Five the first day, I was not impressed.
Yeah, well, I mean, look at who his mentor was. I mean, he is lock, stock, and barrel. When you say Bill O'Reilly, I can't think of one name that pops to mind higher on the list than Jesse Waters as being part of that contingent.
And I want to ask you guys, now the whole, I wondered, I hadn't seen Greta, but I hadn't heard that much about her not being there. So why isn't that front page news? Because she's not accused of improper.
My understanding is, and Greta has not been there for some time. I think she left shortly after Ailes left.
Yes.
She was a supporter of Ailes, you know, in some regard.
And she defended him pretty hard, I think, on her show.
And she had some aspect of her contract, and I understand a number of Fox people do, that say, you know, if Ailes leaves, she has a right to leave. And I think she exercised that option, if I recall.
Very interesting. And she's not really a conservative. She's kind of a pragmatist, and I believe she's a Democrat.
Well, but part neither of was Megyn Kelly, you know? I mean, they've sort of put up with these people who, you know, have been saboteurs to conservative doctrine for some time. But it used to be limited to guys like Beckel and Juan Williams. And now it seems like all these pundits and contributors are, you know, taking a crack at attacking the right. Just to see if they can. I don't know what reason they would have otherwise.
I do like Fox Business and Lou Dobbs. I'll get that in.
Yeah. Well, it's just perplexing to me, and you know, I guess the visceral part of me, John and Tammy, am really concerned that if Fox News falls, what do we have and where do we go?
Yes, because Fox News has been that respite for those of us. We had a voice in the whole stratosphere of media and news. We had one channel that gave us some sanity, and we felt like, okay, we can listen to talk radio and we can watch Fox News. Hallelujah. But if that goes away, man, you talk about angst. So we've got a Republican House and Senate. We've got a Republican president. But they are doing everything they can in the culture to take us down.
And to
I'll
me,
tell you
John,
what'll happen. Go ahead, Scott.
To me, John and Tammy, having a sycophantic partisan alternative pop up doesn't scratch my itch either. I mean, despite the criticism.
Well, we'll talk about that in a second, because evidently there are some plans to create an alternative to Fox Network. But I agree. I think that their loss would be, as much as anything, sort of symbolic and of a moral nature, because I think what you'd have the mainstream media reporting is, look, somebody tried and failed to be a conservative media outlet. It doesn't work. Let's move on. But I want to talk about this piece in Mediaite that you had referred to.
Yeah, but they
Tammy.
Didn't fail.
Well, that's why I'd like to see this other network come along and take a crack at it and see what happens. You know what I'm saying?
Fox made big-time
money. A well-placed
money.
Source close to the proposal for a new conservative network tells Mediaite that serious discussions are underway to create an alternative conservative cable network on the belief that Fox News is moving too far to the left. I think we just argued that. The source who was engaged in the talks says a meeting is planned for today. This was yesterday. With two prominent high-powered television executives, some underperforming conservative networks, and people who have an interest and ability to fund a new network. See, that's the deal, is they're looking for an established cable outlet that already has subscribers, because it ain't going to work the way that, you know, Glenn Beck did it, which is to build this thing from the ground up. They're looking for somebody, you know, who's already got the numbers.
Well, John, to drive my point home, if the alternative is a Bill Kristol Newsmax, color me out.
But see, I don't think that's the way they're going. And from the inference of this article, you know, they're looking at an outlet that would bring back Bill O'Reilly, you know, which I think would kick ass. I think there'd be a big demand to watch Bill O'Reilly. I don't know whether they would not be subject to the same problems, you know, with advertisers. But I mean, they got to take that chance and they won't know until they try, right? Or how about Hannity? You know, it sounds like he's ready to bolt. On Thursday, New York Magazine's Gabe Sherman a constant thorn in the side of Fox News. By the way, Gabe Sherman does not want a conservative channel to do well. But be that as it may, he reported about the management changes underway at Fox News. Sean Hannity then went on a Twitter rant about the total end of FNC as we know it. And he is, as they say, the network's biggest remaining star, Hannity. I mean, so if they can roll O'Reilly, if they can roll Hannity into that channel, I think they'd have a good chance of succeeding.
What do you think, Tammy?
Well, I think they do. And I wanted to add something here. As I mentioned what's going on at Fox, I've been in all my research. One of the things that I did find out is that James Murdoch's wife, Catherine, she worked for the Clinton Climate Initiative, and they've been pounding Rupert on climate change. So there's a whole lot of stuff going on behind the scenes, and I know that Hannity knows about all this. I'm sure you guys heard Hannity's address about the person that was trying to take him down and this gal that's trying to that's making accusations against him.
I think he felt like he was in a fight of his life. He was trying to head off advertisers abandoning him like O'Reilly.
Yes. And the gal that did that, I have an inside scoop that she made accusations against a very, very close friend of mine that there's no way in the world they could ever be true, and everybody knew there was no way in the world they could be true.
She's got a real credibility problem, Tammy.
Yeah, and so she hasn't been invited to CPAC.
Well, somebody posted some tweets. Excuse me. Somebody posted some tweets from this woman. What did you say her name was, Tammy?
Oh, I can't remember it right now, but my friend, I'll just say it, Jeff Dunnett knows her really well.
She is just a Hillary Clinton lapdog from what I read. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, she's kind of a crackpot, and she's a known liar. And so the fact that she was making these accusations from Jeff and some others that have had dealings with her, they said there's no way we're even going to give her the benefit of the doubt because she just lies.
And can I observe that this obsession with a female CEO smacks of the rationale to elect Hillary Clinton president? I mean, isn't that the same old crap? Haven't we seen how this movie ends, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And you know, these people that want everything to be genderless, why do they care what sex is in the Oval Office? I mean, don't we want the person with the best qualifications? The same thing with Fox News. Don't you want the person with the best qualifications? And the fact is, I think it's going to be a problem just handing it over to the Suns to begin with. I wish, you know, the Suns would go do something else in the industry. I mean, one of the Suns, I guess, is an actor or something, and you know, go
wannabe.
Do something else, or an actor wannabe. Yes.
Yeah.
But do something else. My goodness.
Here's another quote from this insider who talked to Mediaite. I just don't see Fox News and Sean having a long relationship. I agree with that.
Well, he's been very very vocal about he would move to Florida or Texas given the chance, and he may end up getting his chance.
If Sean becomes available, you have 100% turnover in primetime and a huge opportunity, the executive said, who didn't want to be named. I'm working on it. The new conservative channel, hot and heavy, the source said. It's live, it's real. Okay, well, whatever. The new channel could come to fruition within the next 10 or 12 months, the executive said. Scott, you sound somewhat skeptical about all this. Am I right?
Well, if they do a conservative-leaning news channel, if it is... organized, and I just have you know, I don't have a real high level of respect for Bill Kristol. And, you know, you look at his Newsmax and that OANN.
Is it your understanding that Bill Kristol is involved in this new venture? Because I haven't seen his name.
No. Well, he may be at the table. Okay. If you're looking for existing properties, I mean, Newsmax would be on my list as an ongoing operation, as would OANN. But if it turns out to be a conservative advocacy television station without some sort of modicum of credibility, that's not going to scratch my itch, because I like fair, balanced, and unafraid.
And well, let's be honest, a lot of those are a dime a dozen right now, you know, and not to cast aspersions on outlets like, you know, OANN or any of those other guys. But
that's my point,
John. They just don't bring the gravitas, and I hate that word, you know, to cable news. They're just not there. There are a lot of, you know, commentators, and that's it.
Yep.
I just wonder when it says two prominent high-powered television executives were meeting with others on Friday to talk about an alternative network. I wonder who those are.
Tammy, there's that CRTV that started out with Mark Levin and those guys. And it could be something
That's kind of sputtered in some respects, too. They had problems with you know, Mark Stein, who I've always considered to be a pretty decent conservative personality.
Yeah,
you know, they couldn't
Mark
make
Stein.
His show work. So, I mean, I don't know. You know, it's a pay-per-view thing. It's not really a cable thing, so it's got all the distribution issues that, you know, a startup cable channel would. But anyway, we're going to let this go and move on to topic number two. Our grades for the first 100 days, for the media, that is. It's the original classic gang of 405 right here on the 405media.com. John Grant on the West Coast, Scott Jones in Texas, Tammy Jackson in Oregon. Right back. Shop Amazon. Support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the talk alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you. Gang of 405, live on the 405media.com. Join John Grant on the West Coast, Tammy Jackson in Oregon, and Scott Jones in Texas.
There was a kid who set a fire in the middle of the street, and he asked him why he did, and he said because he felt like it, and then looked in the camera and said, screw the president.
That kid needs a whooping.
Why in the wide, wide world of sports do you let your kid run off down the street and start fires?
Because where's the parents and bad parenting,
yeah,
and it turns
exactly.
out that he grew hairy.
Well, his dad was down the street emceeing an inaugural event. Oh. Well, Drew Carey is a Gary Johnson guy, so you can bet your patootie that around the Drew Carey house, there was a lot of nasty things said about Donald Trump.
The kid needs an ass whooping, and he needs one yesterday.
Spare the rod and spoil the libertarian, I always say. The original and classic Gang of 405. Saturday mornings, live, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern, only on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
Let's talk tech. Tech news discussions from the people in the industry right here in Pittsburgh. Online, gadgets, startups, and more. Check it out at awesomecast.net.
AwesomeCast. It's all about tech, and it's all about gadgets. It's AwesomeCast, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
We are a bold and active voice for the unborn. We are Audio Girl Ministries, saving the lives of babies by helping moms in crisis pregnancies get past the crisis. How? Free ultrasound imaging so the woman can see the life she's carrying, and by supplying her with essential baby items, diapers, clothes, food, crib, car seat, all given with a loving and caring heart. Want to help? Log on to audiogirlministries.com and make a tax-deductible donation. audiogirlministries.com. Thanks.
Scott, are you a Cheap Trick fan? I saw you tweet one of their songs the other day.
Yes, I am. I have started a new YouTube channel called My Midlife Crisis Unplugged, and I've taken up playing the guitar again, and I'm going to chronicle my progress, and the first song I'm working on is Cheap Trick's The Flame.
I've got that playing right now as bumper music.
Well, yours truly, you'll be playing it here. I bought some gear, and I bought a little mixer board to where I can play along with the band, and I'm going to be putting that up on YouTube.
That's cool. 1987, The Flame from Cheap Trick. I think they're from Rockford, Illinois. So obviously they were a huge kid when I was a kid in Wisconsin. Speaking of which, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is due out May 5th. I'm getting kind of old for the Marvel stuff, especially all that damn CGI, but I like the smart-ass dialogue, and I like the soundtrack, which they call the Awesome Mix. Star-Lord, who's played by Chris Pratt, he's conservative, but he doesn't like selfies with fans. Anyway, the Star-Lord's mom left him a cassette tape of 1970s hits, and they have a new mixtape. We're going to play a song from that at the end of the show instead of Joe Satriani. So stay tuned for that. All right. On Twitter, at the 405 Radio. Email us, the405radio@gmail.com. Podcasts on iTunes and Stitcher and Google Play, Windows Phone. Big listens on last week's show, and we thank you. We can live stream us on TuneIn, Roku, MP3. Also check out the video link. More people click on links to Sean Spicer's press conferences than anything else. And we've also got the Trump 100-day rally from Pennsylvania up on the site as well. If you see something, say something, retweet something, share us on Facebook, Pinterest, any place, because there is a place in heaven for those of you who share what you like on our site. Winners and losers at the end of the show. Let us check in with Scott and Tammy right now and talk about their upcoming shows. First week of May is upon us. Scott Jones, Pops Radio on Twitter, Pissed Off Politically Speaking, Monday, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern.
We got Ed Henry rebooked, and he'll be joining me Monday. There are no free rides. I'm going to be a book hooker for him. He's written a book about the Jackie Robinson story, the untold part of it, called 40-Tooth Faith. We're going to talk to him about that, but he doesn't get a free ride. We're going to get his take on some of the hot issues in Washington, so that'll be this coming Monday.
Tammy Jackson, Tammy J on Twitter, Tammy Jackson Show, Tuesday, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern. It is live. And what you got on the way for us on Tuesday, Tammy?
Tuesday should be fun. I'm welcoming back my friend Phil Kirpin, who's the president of American Commitment. We're going to be talking about net neutrality, why it needs to be ended, and about Obama's Washington takeover of the internet, which was a disaster for free speech, etc. And then in the second half hour, I've got Kelly Fedorick. She is a lawyer and legal counsel doing some high level work for Alliance Defending Freedom. And we're going to be talking about abortion, about the DNC, about Tom Perez, etc. And it's going to be a good and hardcore talk about that topic, and I'm looking forward to it.
I'm going to tune in for the net neutrality part, because if they slow down my porn links, I'm going to be really pissed.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
I think Tammy will ask Phil Kirpin that question.
I will ask him.
Get on that, would you, Tammy?
Yeah, get right on that.
Topic two, our grades for the first 100 days, for the media, that is. Hundreds of millions have spent to trash Trump politically. A fraction of that is spent to attack the media. Yet Trump still beats the media in approval ratings. Why in the wide, wide world of sports does the media get away with Trump's approval ratings when theirs are worse? Tammy, last couple of days, the Trump administration brought on a longtime pro-life advocate to HHS. Former head of FAIR goes to Homeland Security. Jeff Sessions has declared war on MS-13. Help me find the failure in the last 100 days. I just don't see it.
I don't understand what's going on. This is another thing that I've been noticing on Fox News. So it overlaps a little bit. Our first topic is that everybody I have heard on this last week, they're slamming him. They have to bring somebody from the administration on, like Sebastian Gorka or somebody, to really illustrate what he has done. And I don't get it. Scott, I know that you and I have talked about this. Since the election on November 8th, and then since the inauguration on January 20, I have had a fun time turning on the news, because every day he's rolling back another executive order that Obama put out there. He's changing things, and he's had troubles with the health care, with the sanctuary cities, and of course the tax plan. We don't know how that's going to go. But the only places he's had troubles, it's because judges interfere that Obama put in place. He put in scores of liberal judges across the nation when he was, you know, for 8 years. And so now we're dealing with those judges, unfortunately. So either the judges interfere, or the Democrats in Congress and in the Senate have a hissy fit and stop things. But Donald Trump is doing a lot. He's working long hours, long days. And do you know, he did have an interview with Martha McCallum, and she asked him, why don't you go to New York City more? Don't you miss your wife and son? And he said, I don't go to New York City because it costs the city too darn much when I go there. They have to close down streets. There has to be so much security. It's just a hassle for that whole city. I can go down to Florida, and it's real easy, and everything's in place. They don't have to close everything down. It's not like New York City itself. And I thought, okay, we've got a president who's not taking a paycheck. He gifted the first paycheck to the Department of the Interior, which was fabulous. And he's working like crazy every single day. And even if he is on the golf course, he's doing it with heads of state. So he's combining a meeting and golf. It's a great way to do it.
My answer to your question is as a lesser person, their approval ratings would be in the 30s. Okay. I'm amazed that he's at 43 with what is about $20 billion worth of negative publicity. But you know what?
Yeah.
They're failing, because to me, the litmus test was in the Fox News poll, or maybe it was the ABC, Wall Street Journal poll, or whatever it was, that said if the election were held today,
yes,
he would not only win the Electoral College, he would also win the popular vote. So, and 96% of the people that voted for him.
That's what I was thinking.
and the media, and Tammy, you and I have talked about this when you've guest hosted on my show, the media has done everything they can to take down this president, and the American people outside of the media bubbles and the left coast are sticking with him.
Yes.
Now, he did say the job was harder than he thought it would be, which I thought was an interesting way to put it. Certainly red meat for people who say he wasn't ready for the job. But, you know, give us some tough love, Scott and Tammy, on where Trump could use some improvement.
Messaging. And I don't know.
He's gotten better.
Yeah, he's gotten better.
No. You're missing my point. There is, outside of Donald Trump, they do not have an effective messaging operation that day in and day out is able to penetrate through this noise. And I know they were late in getting a communications director. He's okay, but he's one person. I mean, to me, they need a whole shop working on this 24/7, and it just either it's not organized and not effective, or the wall, they're not being able to penetrate the liberal wall of pushback. But it just seems to me that there's not an ongoing, you know, you listed off, Tammy, four or five things that, unless Donald Trump goes out in an interview and says them, they're not out in the public domain.
No, they're not. And I listened to his speech to the NRA, because that's right in my wheelhouse, and it was fantastic, and people were cheering and cheering and cheering. He was big time on the Second Amendment rights, et cetera, and he does a good job. And it's very interesting, as we think about, we're seeing, I don't believe in macroevolution, but we're kind of seeing the growth and the evolution of a man's character and worldview and policies, because he's a guy that was a pragmatist and a businessman, and he was extremely successful. Well, now he's in the world of politics, and he's having to think about foreign policy and sanctity of life and you know, federalization versus federalism, at all kinds of things that are very interesting that were outside of his purview in previous days, and he's taking
them on. And the salient point in what you're making, Tammy, is the base that elected him and plus a little bit more are accepting of that. They don't see it as flip-flops the way the political hacks try to characterize it.
Right. But this is a guy that people are illuminating these policies, these worldviews, et cetera, to them, and he's saying, you know, that is probably what I believe. It's like friends I have that thought they were Democrats that might be black or something, and then you start giving them all these different principles and precepts, and they say, good grief, I might be a Republican. And they never really articulated it. They never really thought about it. Well, this is Donald Trump. It didn't come into his business worldview so much. Now it is. And day after day, he is making some very good decisions based on the advice of very good people. And I love Jeff Sessions. I got to say, I love that guy. I love the generals.
Even some of his media detractors admit on the national security front, especially, he's got an ace team.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. He's bringing the A team.
Tillerson, Kelly. Yes. McMaster, all of them are just first-rate.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
They're wonderful people, and these are guys that are not just military men. These are smart, smart, well-read, awesome warriors that know what they're doing, and none of them really want the limelight. You don't see James Mattis up there by the mic all the time, but although I wish they were up there more, because when I see them do a presser, you guys, anybody on the admin, when they do a presser, I am impressed. He has the best of the best.
Well, I mean, you listen to Tillerson versus John Kerry. Tillerson just inspires confidence, even in detractors, I think.
He does. There's a certain humility, just a forthrightness to him, all that kind of stuff.
And confidence.
And competence versus John Kerry, who had the Locust Valley lockjaw thing going on and wore tights to windsurf in and took sweet baby James over to France as part of his policy. Come on, people.
I got to admit, I'm pleasantly surprised by Tillerson. I saw him as an oil guy. No offense to oil guys. You know, but to see him work the crowds on the international stage, I mean, what he did with that Russian foreign minister, you know, was nothing short of skillful and impressive. I mean, you know, this guy knows how to manhandle all the bad actors in the world. And, you know, John Kerry was on a perpetual apology tour, you know, looking for LGBT issues in Africa or something that he had to fix.
Well, if we're being honest, Tillerson's been to bigger rodeos than the guy operating in the Oval Office, okay?
Yes, yes.
And you get a skill set that has just been, it's translated beautifully. But, I mean, I think, to Tammy's point, the humility thing is fine, but there's just a level of steady-handedness, intellect, and competence that just oozes out of the guy every time he talks.
Yeah, and nothing ruffles him. He is just steady on, and I absolutely love it. And I didn't know what to expect from him. I knew he had great qualifications, but there's other people like that. Mick Mulvaney, I am just impressed like heck by that guy that is in the budget office. That guy is brilliant. He's in there. Wilbur, the old guy, he's
Wilbur
a riot.
He is a hoot.
He is funny. And as he's talking, I think, well, this guy's burning up the podium all right with his flamboyance. And I just laugh. But you know that when he speaks, he knows what he's talking about. Trump is surrounded by adults that know their specialties. They know them inside and out. These are sharp, smart
guys. But see, Tammy, that's a perfect example that you cite of a campaign promise that he fulfilled and it's not communicated. He said he was going to hire the best and put the best in.
He has,
and I think it's keeping the wheels on the wagon from a foreign policy national security standpoint, and he gets zero credit for it because it's not being well communicated.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why... Yep. I'm not hitting the panic button on the wall yet, because I look at stuff that he does with Sessions and with Homeland Security, this woman from FAIR, who he
with
just
General
brought
Kelly
on the other day. Exactly. I was struggling to remember his name. But, you know, I mean, this guy's, he's not putting posers in those positions. And I think the wall will come. You know, maybe he has decided from a strategic standpoint he needs to deal with it when he needs to deal with it. And I'm cool with that, because the things that I see sort of going on in the periphery, you know, the drop in border crossings, session statements about MS-13.
Right.
I mean, they're making all the right moves and saying all the right things here. And
well, John,
I'm just not cranked up about the wall just yet.
I think their policy positions and the dynamic shift we've seen from the Obama era policies are a direct impact and factor in the fact that illegal incursions are down 63% this quarter.
And let's be honest, that's what the attacks are about, that agenda. And I think the media, who, according to Morning Consult, 51% say the national political media is out of touch with everyday Americans. I think that's why they're failing to separate Trump from his backers right now. So I got to give them an F for their first 100 days, the media.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm right there with you with an F.
Yeah, and I...
We got to take a break and come back. I want to hit segment number three, and believe it or not, we're going to talk about something called Fire Festival. That's kind of interesting, and it's been all over the news. It's kind of a pop culture thing, but that's what we do in segment three. The original classic Gang of 405 right here on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
Shop Amazon. Support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the talk alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you. Pops Radio, short for Pissed Off, Politically Speaking, with Scott Jones on the 405media.com.
Brett Baer, thanks for joining us from Washington.
Hey, great to be here.
Tom Rogan, thanks for being with us.
Great to be with you, Scott. Thanks for having me on.
Cheryl Atkinson, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Is Washington just totally dysfunctional? I mean, to me, this is just unprecedented, Cheryl.
These ties are so deep now, and so at least giving the appearance of corruption, I think people have come to just kind of throw up their hands and distrust nearly every official establishment body.
And your words here on our air today should be horrifying, if not motivating, for anyone who's sitting on the fence about this.
Pissed Off, Politically Speaking, Monday, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern, only on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
I love Tammy.
I love you back, Kurt, because I'm a caring kind of gal.
The Tammy Jackson Show.
I'm just one conservative gal encouraging you to keep fighting the good fight.
Tammy is what conservative insurgency is about.
Tammy Jackson, the granddaughter of legal immigrants.
In Honduras, they had 60,000 murders per 100,000, something like that. And I thought, whoa, that is a lot.
Like every other person on the block is dead.
Tammy Jackson, the emerging threat from the West Coast.
Tammy has made herself into a rising radio star.
When we have these mass amounts just suddenly pour into the United States, we have a worse problem than we already have had with assimilation.
The Tammy Jackson Show, Tuesday nights, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, only on the 405media.com.
Anything for you, Tammy.
You're on the 405.
This is Mike from the Wrestling Mayhem Show, the show where we get fans and people in the wrestling industry together to talk about pro wrestling, WWE, NXT, WrestleMania, all kinds of fun. It's a podcast party. Check it out, Wrestling Mayhem Show, right here on the 405 Media.
Listen to the Wrestling Mayhem Show, now 7 nights a week, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, right here on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
I'm going to give a shout out to Dean Poirier. I think that's how you pronounce his name. He's running for Congress in Redlands, California. He's a disabled vet, and there is a Democrat currently in that congressional seat. www.deanpoirierforcongress.com. There you go. Thanks for checking in, Dean. That's Blink 182 on the 405media.com. It's the original and classic Gang of 405. Blink 182, one of the musical acts bailing out of Fire Festival. I'm sure you've been reading about this. It is the Bahamas Bikinis top musical acts. What could go wrong, right? Instead of gourmet meals, the guests were given cheese sandwiches instead of top accommodations. They spent their nights in tent cities on the beach. The organizers say they learned their lesson and will be better prepared for next year. Oh, yeah? You think there's going to be a next year? Peace and Time magazine kind of chronicles this pretty effectively. Tammy Jackson, the thing that sort of fascinates me is to sort of watch this play out real time on social media. You know, all the backseat sociologists weighing in. They say, oh, this shows you how insane the festival market is. Or, we told you to avoid anything to do with Ja Rule. Or, the internet will make you believe anything. What's your take on Fire Festival here?
Well, as I read this thing, I thought, you must be kidding. These people were spending like $8,000 a night or something for these rooms at this music festival. First of all, if I had $8,000, that would be the last thing I'd be doing. But like one of the tweets said, the luxury glamping tents are leftover disaster relief tents from USAID. And I saw pictures of them. These ugly looking moonlight tents, it looked like they were on a desert. And I thought, people pay this kind of money? And that, and one gal, the same gal that posted that, I believe, had a picture of the meal that was supposed to be the catered meal. It was two slices of bread, two slices of cheese, and a little lettuce on the side, period. That was it. And I thought, oh my word, I see some big time lawsuits.
It looked like a Michelle Obama school lunch there, you know what I'm saying? And well, the USDA has eradicated the Michelle Obama school lunches, to be completely off topic. Go ahead, Scott.
I'm perplexed at what level of planning is required to avoid serving cheese sandwiches. Were they surprised that people showed up?
I don't know. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I mean tents and cheese sandwiches, it doesn't sound like they planned very well. That y'all could be wrong.
And the Bahamas, this is talk about a horrible PR move for the Bahamas themselves to even.
I guess they wanted to be the next Coachella or something like that.
Yes,
but
they
Jesus
did.
Christ.
Coachella for rich people who want to charter airplanes.
But think about it, John. Even if you had half the people show up, why are you serving cheese sandwiches? Did the hotels burn down where they were going to stay, so they had to stay on the beach in tents?
Well, the organizers claim that the Bahamas vastly overstated the availability of infrastructure to handle this. The Bahamas Ministry of Tourism, however, put out a statement that said, look, we think we're still a great place to come on vacation. Don't judge us based on these two a-holes who, in essence, pulled off a scam with this festival. People are calling it a scam.
Yeah, I think it sounds like a scam to me. And what was the deal with the groups that canceled and everything? I think the whole thing looks like it was kind of done in a half-assed nature. It makes Woodstock look like people stayed at the Hilton comparatively.
You said ass.
I know, I did, sorry.
Kendall Jenner scheduled to appear, Bella Hadid, Emily Ratajkowski, I think that's how you pronounce her name. There's the Bikini Babes. As I mentioned, Blink 182 was supposed to be there, a couple of other musical acts. And instead, as they say on Twitter, this ended up being the Hunger Games for rich people.
And, let me tell you this.
They screwed up because they didn't have a Kardashian show up.
They didn't know what they were doing. But, hey, guys, here in Portland, we haven't always had just horrible things. For three summers in a row, Luis Palau's organization, which is headquartered here in, it's actually in Beaverton, Oregon, which is part of the metro area. They organized three waterfront festivals with Christian rock bands and Luis Palau talking and skateboarding parks and everything. The smallest night was the first night of the first year. We had 50,000 people. The next night there were 75,000 people. The second year we had 100,000 people both nights, and the third year ditto. And do you know that those things went off without a hitch? There was great food, even though we had some bad weather on one of those nights. It still was gorgeous. There was no crime. There was no litter. There was no nothing. Everybody had a great time. They handled crowds of 100,000 people in a metro area on the waterfront. And the city of Portland said they had never had a crowd like that leave it so pristine. In fact, people with the Palau organization, and I was one of the volunteers, we did things like planted trees around the city and did extra stuff. So not only did we leave it in pristine condition, we enhanced the downtown area. So it can be done. You just have to have grown-ups organizing things.
But if you want a great meal, I would suggest you go to Yale University, where the College Republicans set up a cookout right outside the site where the graduate students are fasting. Well, they're really not fasting, but you know the story. Winners and losers, Tammy Jackson, go.
Go. Okay. My winner is Secretary of the Department of the Interior, Ryan Zinke, who is rolling back the great federal government land grabs. And this past week, he offered President Trump and Trump signed the Antiquities Act, which will restore land to states and allow multiple use on land. So we don't have these millions of acres set aside that nobody can even hike, hunt, fish. We can't use the water, can't use anything. He's rolling that all back. Ryan Zinke's doing a great job. And of course, people at large probably are not hearing about it. My loser is the DNC committee chair, Tom Perez, who I think some of you might have heard his speech this last week. It was unhinged. It was totally blue. It was so bad and full of profanity. I wouldn't even post it on barbed wire. And that is where the Dems are today.
Scott Jones, a winner and a loser, please.
My loser is University of Missouri. They're having to shutter three more dorms as registrations in the freshman class have dropped. You may remember them, the one with the journalism teacher that threatened a student journalist there. They did nothing about it, and they continue to pay for it. Good. My winner of the week is going to be a guest a week from Monday, Rob O'Neill, the man who killed Osama bin Laden. His new book is out. The Operator. I just finished it. I wanted to share with you guys, if we've got the time, a passage from
it. And SEALs are always
winners. Yeah, Navy SEAL Rob O'Neill. He'll be on my show a week from Monday. You know, in an era where we're watching kids have come apart if a Chick-fil-A comes on a campus because it might impinge on their safe spaces, the setup of this is they think it's going to be a one-way trip and they're going to die. The passage is just telling and contrast the kids who are worried about their safe spaces. I got into a discussion with the guy who'd end up being the point man on the assault on the third floor of the Abbottabad compound. Of course, we didn't know that then. We talked the way Navy SEALs never talk. Quote, once we go on this mission, we aren't going to get to see our kids again and kiss our wives. We'll never eat another steak or smoke another cigar. We were trying to get down the truth about why we were still willing to do this when we pretty much knew we were going to die. What we came up with was that we were doing it for the single mom who dropped off her kids at school and went to work on a Tuesday morning and then an hour later decided to jump out of a skyscraper because it was better than burning alive. A woman whose last gesture of human decency was holding down her skirt on the long way to the pavement so no one would see her underwear. That's why we were going. She was just trying to get through a workday, live a life, and had no desire to fight and no ability to defend herself. Now we were going to fight for her. We were going to fucking kill this guy. We started getting fired up just talking about it. So when you worry about your kid and his safe space on campus, think about the people that made him or her have the ability to have a fucking safe space.
Wow. Outstanding. Outstanding.
Terrific.
Passage.
Great.
It stopped me cold.
Yeah. My winner, Milo Yiannopoulos, who says he has $12 million from an unnamed investor and will launch a 30-person media company in Miami. Stay tuned, folks. My loser is a 33-pound long-tailed macaque nicknamed Uncle Fatty. He's being sent to a fat camp, getting fed sweets and noodles by visitors to a floating water market in Bangkok, Thailand. So, Uncle Fatty, we hope you drop a few pounds there. All right, that is it for the original and classic Gang of 405 here on the 405media.com. As promised, a little bit of an extra for the end of the show. As we mentioned, we're kind of fans of Guardians of the Galaxy, and this is a cut from their mixtape. A song that I happen to like, and I think Chuck Gunn, who is in the Chicago area, probably remembers this from his youth as well. Right, Tammy? Chuck's in Chicago?
Yeah, he's in Chicago, and we have other people in Chicago listening now.
He'll remember this song. You may not hear it in its entirety on the live stream, but go back to the iTunes page and you can check it out. Aliotta Haynes Jeremiah and LSD. Lakeshore Drive. We'll be talking to you.
The proceeding was recorded earlier because we were ashamed to do it now.
Lakeshore Drive, the road is calling. It'll take you up or down. From rats on up to riches, 15 minutes you can fly. Pretty blue lights along the way, help you ride on by. And the blue lights shining with a heavenly grace, help you ride on by. Anywhere I found,
just about fine. Sometimes you can smell the green if your mind is feeling fine. There ain't no finer place to be than running Lakeshore Drive. And there's no peace of mind the place you see riding on Lakeshore Drive. South on Lakeshore Drive, heading into town. Just slipping on my own LSD, Friday night trouble bound. It's Friday night and you're looking clean, too early to start the rounds. A 10-minute ride from the Gold Coast back makes you show your pleasure bound. Sunshine's fine in the morning time, tomorrow is another day. And there ain't no road just like it anywhere I'm found. Running south on Lakeshore Drive, heading into town. Just sneaking on my own LSD, finding that trouble bound. Short drive, tomorrow is another day. And the sunshine's fine in the morning time, tomorrow is another day. But it's okay. There ain't no road just like it anywhere I found. Running south on Lakeshore Drive, heading into town. I'm slipping on by on LSD, skipping on by.